Hello, people of the world. It is Sunday, Sunday the 18th of February. Holy fucking shit. 18th of February, 2024. It is precisely 5 o'clock in the morning. I know. Holy fucking shit. What the fuck are you doing, Ben? It's 5 o'clock in the morning, people. I know I haven't done a podcast in 2 weeks. Not 1 week, 2 weeks. I know. So we're getting back on track here, people. I've been sick as a motherfucking dog, as they say. A motherfucking dog for a week. And, last week I was feeling rough as anything. So I weren't going to do a podcast. This week I am getting better. Thank you for your concern. And I know what you're thinking out there. It's probably man flu, is it, Ben? I don't care. Whatever it was, I don't care. I'm willing to admit how rough I was. I'm willing to admit women are far superior to men when it comes to being ill. Yeah, I hold my hands up. I'm holding my hands up. Women, you know, you're tough. You go through it every month. You get your water infections, you get your bad stomach, you get your whatever else happens down there in that complex internal system that you've got going on. Oh, I was feeling that fucking rough that I was willing to, you know, willing to just concede that women are the stronger sex when it comes to being ill. There's other attributes men have got. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any without coming across as misogynistic. However, when it comes to sickness, women can tough on through. But they're conditioned into that, aren't they? You know, every month you feel like shit for a week. You know, you've got your stomach cramps, you've got your stuff coming out of you, whatever it is. Who knows what those terrible things that happen to women on a monthly basis. However, men will get a cold every 6 months or something. It's a shock to the system. That's why it hits us so hard, isn't it? We're not ground down every month with fucking stomach cramps and shit like that. So when it comes like the thunder, doesn't it? It's a shock to the system. But I was feeling fucking rough. Whatever it was that's going around. I know everybody's got this 100-day cough. That seems to, you know, they just develop a cough and it just seems to never go. But I don't know, whatever it was, I was feeling rough. I'm still not 100% at the minute. There's still, you know, fucking hell. Like when you're sitting around and you're, you know, pissing razor blades and shit like that, it feels like you've got some sort of STI, but the sexually transmitted bit is not an issue anymore. Obviously, it's just an infection. Oh dear, it's painful. That horrible fucking feeling of going to the toilet and then you go for a piss, you finish pissing and it feels like you still need to piss. Women, I take my hat off to you every month. As I've just said, I bow down in front of you. Yes, you are the stronger sex when it comes to being ill, definitely. Anyway, events that have been happening in my life, holy shit, we've had a birthday, haven't we? I won't give you the specific date because I don't trust people out there on the internet. I don't trust people not to, A, work out from my age what my date of birth was and then start guessing at my mother's maiden name and the next minute my pension fund is gone, isn't it? So I was 47 years old, people, the other week. 47. I'm knocking on the door of 50, aren't I? You know, I think I should. I'm here sitting. If you're listening to this, I'm sitting here in a Kappa fucking tracky top. I should not be wearing stuff like this at the age of 50. I should be, you know, at least in some sort of, you know, herringbone tweed or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, if you've played sports for the majority of your life, this is my thing that I've got with people calling chavs, you know, who wear sportswear and that. I played sports from a young age, right? like every, you know, three or four times a week I was playing football. I was playing Saturdays, I was playing Sundays, I was training in the week, training Saturday mornings. You know, I'm used to wearing sportswear. But now that has been branded as a, you know, scallywag uniform. Whereas I am still wearing this because I find it comfortable, yeah? And not just to sit around the house all day in, yeah? It's not comfortable to go down to the post office to get my benefits. It's just comfy to wear. And I refuse to be branded. There ought to be some sort of sticker we can wear where we're like, actually, I used to play sports when I was younger. And I actually find this stuff comfortable to wear rather than easier to escape from the police. You know, there ought to be some sort of badge we wear that can distinguish us from the other people. Anyway, so most of this week, because I've been laid up most of the week, I've just noticed a few bubbles on the side of this top, by the way. You know what one of the most satisfying things in life is? Right, I'm going to throw that out there. When you get bobbly clothes, you know, where your arms and things like that are rubbing against it, and you get those little bobbles all over your clothes. If you've got one of those little clothes debobblers or whatever they are, defuzzers, as I do have here at Briggs Towers, one of the most satisfying things in life. I can hear you all screaming out there, by the way, going, really, Ben, are you going to go down this route? You're getting fucking old. You're fucking damn right I'm getting old. One of the most satisfying things in life, other than a heated blanket on a cold night when you get into bed. That's at the top. But one of the other most satisfying things in life is debobbling clothes. Oh, man. You're bringing a whole lease of life back to clothes. They look horrible, old, scruffy, bobbled. You get a debobbler on it, people. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, the satisfaction of doing that. It must be up there with, you know, setting up a multinational company. I don't know. let's have a little bit of tea. There we go. So what I've been doing this week, I have rewatched every film, every Star Wars film. I'd had enough of Disney Plus. I was all Disney Plused out at one point and cancelled it all, because there wasn't enough new stuff coming on. And then I left it about 6 months and I joined again. And I had a Star Wars binge for about 3 days, I think. I just sat like in bed watching all the Star Wars films. And I know people out there are judging me for that, but at the time, I was a man with a cold. And you know, actually, for a man with a cold, that is being quite productive. Thank you. You know what I mean, sisters? You know this all too well. In the meantime, since the last podcast as well, we've had Valentine's Day, haven't we? Holy shit. It's just as well I was laid up in bed. I could not get out. The amount of cards blocking the door. Valentine's is very odd. It's a very odd thing now because it's almost turned into how Christmas is now, like people being on their own at Christmas. If people are on their own on Valentine's Day now, they seem to want sympathy for that, you know? They're all like, I saw a lot of posts this year about, hey, think of all the people who are single on Valentine's Day and missing out on. Are we got to be a victim in everything? Surely not. Think of the people who can't eat eggs on Shrove Tuesday. Let's have a fucking whip round for them, shall we? I don't know, people. It just seems like everybody is like seems to be a victim of something these days. You know, there must be every single day. Think of the people who can't eat chocolate at Easter. Let's have a candlelight vigil for them, shall we? I don't know. Easter's a very odd thing, isn't it? You know, It's if Jesus knew how we, do you think he actually knows how we actually celebrate Easter? You know, how are they celebrating Easter? Are they sort of like, you know, chanting my name or stuff like that? No. apparently there's a giant Easter bunny that goes around leaving eggs everywhere. How did that get in there? I have no idea, Jesus. But that's how they're celebrating it down there. I think they may have missed the point of the sins that I died for. A giant Easter bunny going around leaving eggs. It doesn't make sense. I don't know. I just like the idea of him freaking out over there. They've totally got it wrong. They've totally got it wrong. Anyway, I have managed to do a few gigs. Not while I was ill, obviously, but I did some this weekend. Last night I was at a gliding club. I know. Surely, Ben, that must have been a diverse, multicultural experience for you. No, not at all. A gliding club. You couldn't have had a whiter, more middle-class audience than that glider club last night. Oh, my God. I don't even think anybody had brown eyes there. Ah, Jesus. It looked like, you know, like Hitler's fucking dream fucking audience for one of his speeches. It was a gliding. To be honest, I was a little bit worried about the gig because I walked in. There was an awful lot of gilets on display. There was an awful lot of sort of like, you know, that sort of like middle class where they don't really feel the need to get dressed up, but you know they've got fucking money. There's a lot of check shirts, a lot of jeans, but a lot of expensive watches. You know what I mean? That's the difference, isn't it? Where you go to somewhere like last week, where was I? I did a gig in Wellingborough last week. And for Hat's Funny Comedy. And it was a nice gig, but you could tell some people are dressed up. Like there was one woman in, like, apparently animal print is back. I didn't realise this until some woman said about it. But it's still got connotations. And if you're wearing leopard print out and about, you know, it's still got like that sort of like trashy Bette Lynch thing about it, hasn't it? Even you can bring it back as many times as you want, but a certain generation are always going to think in the back of your head that that's Bette Lynch from Coronation Street, or Cat Slater from EastEnders. It's got that trashy sort of like working class people trying to be sort of like doll themselves up. Even though the woman looked a little bit posh, who had it on, and she was a bit shirty when I when I said about that. But, you know, Wednesday night in Wellingborough, people were dolled up. Whereas this was like a Saturday night, people weren't necessarily dolled up at the gliding club. It was mainly gliding club members. So they've got to have a bit of money behind them to be able to, A, afford to glide. Which I imagine is not a cheap hobby to do. It's not, you know, it's not going bowling, is it? You know, flying, you've got to put in your pilot's license. You've got to, you know, do all your training. You've got to get one of those cord things that pulls you along, gets you in the air. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I think that's it, isn't it? They don't get towed up by other planes, do they? I have no idea. Anyway, it was a place called Husbands Bosworth. And it was like a gliding centre. I'd never done it. It was the first night. I walked in, you know, you could clearly tell that the people there were middle class. They weren't dressed up, but they were, you know, they had nice stuff on, but they were looking casual, you know, as if they'd just come from, you know, Epstein's Island or something for the weekend. Just glided back from there. I have no idea. There's a bit more tea. Anyway, the gig itself, there was a few good acts on. There was the boys from the All Night Chemist. I love seeing them. They're sort of like a comedy musical duo. I enjoy seeing them. The headliner there was Mad Ron. I was doing just like a middle spot. So the guy who booked me for it, Doug Carter, he was emceeing it as well and kept it kind of like tame at first. And I was like, oh, fuck. Because, you know, to dark comedy sometimes a white middle class audience can be fucking kryptonite. They're just, you know, they're just, because they're so worried about, they're hyper aware that they're white middle class people, but they want to be kind of woke and that. And then any sort of like, any sort of subject that strays from the norm or makes them laugh at something they wouldn't necessarily normally laugh at, a normal middle class white audience kind of freak out because they're like, oh shit, do I look, you know, do I look in any way bad laughing at this? I don't want to do this. Because they're all got like management jobs and they're all in like the corporate industry, and that's how, what regulates what you can say or what you can laugh at or anything like that. So they're all hyper aware, like 9 till 5, they're in that mindset of shit, I can't laugh at that. I have to, you know. And they kind of sometimes forget that they're at the comedy show and then bring that mindset into the comedy show. And also, because it's the first night in a gliding center, a lot of the people there are from the gliding center and go gliding and that sort of thing. So it's got a different sort of like dynamic to a normal comedy club because everybody knows each other and you're going into their space. They're not coming into your space. That, you know, they all know each other. So they've got their own dynamics within the audience as well. You've got the people, the leaders and all that sort of thing. So you've got all that going on. So it can be a bit of a sticky wicket at times. I'd never done a gliding centre before. The place looked lovely. There was all like gliders out and things like that. I mean, I pulled up when it was dark and it's just a massive fucking field with a clubhouse, basically. That's it. That's what a gliding centre is. It looks exactly like one of those shitty little airport things. Somewhere like local for me would be like Sidwell Airport. It looked like that. You've got a grass runway. You know, and, you know, I can see the fascination with learning how to fly a plane, right? Because it'd be exciting, wouldn't it? You can do fucking barrel rolls. You can do, you know, swooping up and down, that sort of thing. You know, the old Biggles thing. And we fucking laugh. I'd never do it because I'd get carried away and kill myself. You know, I'm bad enough in a car at times. For sort of like, oh, let's just accelerate out of this turn and see what, oh, fuck. Yeah, I'd never do it. A, because I haven't got the money, and B, I haven't really got the interest. I'm not a massive fan of heights, to be perfectly honest. When I get on commercial airlines, I have to not think about the fact that I'm sitting in a chair that's 30,000 feet in the air. I have to have the mindset that I'm kind of on a train. If I start thinking like, well, there's my chair, then there's the floor, then there's loads of wires and shit, then there's the outside of the plane, and then there's nothing for 30,000 feet. If something goes wrong here, you know, a whistle on a life belt is not going to help me out. I have to, not even contemplate or think about what is going on with regards to that. I need to just sit there, think I'm on a train, you know, and watch a fucking film and keep my mind occupied, or somebody's gonna be strapping me into my chair and putting a gag in my mouth as I'm screaming out, we're all gonna die. It's not quite that bad, but I do get a bit panicky on planes. But yeah, I can see the attraction in flying a plane, you know, with an engine. I can't see the attraction in just gradually floating around and, you know, gradually descending from a certain height over a few hours or a few minutes, or I don't know how long they stay up there for. They seem to just go around in circles, don't they, with the, and you can't really go that far. You're just going, you know, it's like that's the equivalent of people who just go out on a Sunday for a Sunday drive. You know what I mean? Oh, where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, we're not going anywhere. We're just going for a drive in the country. Just a drive. You know, just waste that petrol. Hold everybody else up because you want to get in the scenery. If I'm driving somewhere, I'm driving to a destination. That's all. You know, I'm not just driving around aimlessly in the country looking at fields and shit like that. I'm always driving. And that's the equivalent of what gliding is. Being on a plane, you know, you've got a destination, you've got, you know, it's more proactive, isn't it? Rather than just, you know, going round. And so, like one of those planes that just fucking just floats around that you had when you were a kid made out of balsa wood or that weird polystyrene shit. Anyway, the gig itself, Doug started off the night emceeing. It was a little bit tame, a little bit nice with them. And that sort of thing. The boys from the All Night Chemist went on. They did what they do. They do like kind of cheeky, rude sort of like songs. You know, but it's kind of cheeky, kind of rude. It's not absolute filth. There's a few filthy lines in there, but it's not, you know, like it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. A couple of older guys. They did really well. And then I was like, I'm not going to lie, in the break, I was like, ah, oh, fuck. I was listening to people talking and the stuff they were talking about, I was like, oh, fuck me, these people are going to hate me. And then at the start of the break, I was like, Doug was like, just do what you do, fuck them. And I was like, that's not going to, you know, that's not going to help, I don't think. We'll just see how we go and we'll try and make it work. And he did about 5-10 minutes before he brought me on. And the funny thing, it made me laugh. As I'm walking to the stage, Doug's obviously just introduced me. They're applauding and all that sort of thing, which is nice, which is never like, it's always like an automated response, that is. Like the audience will applaud before you've actually done anything. Which always seems a bit strange to me. You know, they're applauding you walking to the stage, which you haven't done anything. And it's like that could be, you know, they've been told to applaud, so they're doing that. And that's lovely, welcoming you on with applause, but you still haven't earned that applause. They're giving you that in advance. They've already paid applause before you've said your first word. So it's kind of... it's kind of like a weird thing, like you owe them already before you get on stage. It's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's really odd. They've already spent some applause for you in anticipation that you're going to be good. And that's probably why if you don't start well, people are like, ah, fuck you. I've already spent some applause on you. Watching you walk to the stage. But as I got to the mic, and Doug handed it over to me, he just whispered to me, good luck. Oh, I fucking loved it. It made me laugh so much. Just the, sort of, just the almost impending doom in his voice and, how he just sort of like washed his hands of the whole affair with that one sentence. Good luck. As it turned out, holy shit, I wouldn't be talking about this otherwise, would I? As it turned out really lovely. They were really nice. I was kind of playful rather than harsh. Like I've noticed, this is one thing I've noticed a little bit more. Being as I've been doing it about 16, 17 years, I've got like more playful in, I never want to cut my material. I never want to change my material for what different audiences there are, because I think if you do that, if you look at the audience and you think, I can't do that stuff, I can't do that stuff, I can't do that stuff, you're never going to settle on what makes you you, like on stage. So, but I think there are ways of selling your material to different people, maybe. And I was really quite playful with them on Saturday night. And they were absolutely just lovely. I think I got one complaint out of about, I don't know, 80, 90 people, I think, were there. I think one guy complained about the language. But like Doug was saying to the guy at the who wanted the comedy night, look at everybody else. Everybody else is laughing. You've got one guy who's, taking offence at the language. You don't want that guy to come back anyway. You want the other 90-odd people. They're the ones who you want to stay in the club, the ones who are enjoying themselves. There was some old boy on the back row who was in his 80s, I think, and he was like in fucking tears for everybody. That's the sort of guy you want. And who'd have thought that at the whitest, most middle-class fucking gig you can do? An old guy in his 80s was fucking loving it. It just goes to show, doesn't it? You can just, you can predict what people want and then, people will just, people will laugh at what they like, baby, won't they? But it was a lovely night. Everybody there was really nice. It's a fascinating hobby, I must admit. I mean, like I've done hobbies. I was, I'm always flirting with doing some sort of hobby, like playing golf again. I sold my golf clubs the other year, but playing golf again or doing something like that, something less strenuous. I haven't been swimming this year, so I need to get back on that. I might just go to the gym instead. Go to the gym, but then you've. The worst thing about the gym, if you could go to the gym and you could book in, all you need to do is book in for half an hour when nobody else is about. That's all I want. I don't want to be, surrounded by other fucking twats at the gym anymore. Is it too much to ask? Can't the government do that? Make sure that we can, some sort of legislation where we all get half an hour to ourselves in the gym and we can just go in. You have your allotted time. I don't give a shit if it's fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll get up and go. As long as I don't have to spend it around other people sweating around me or fucking like that, breathing heavy like there's some sort of fucking weirdo caller on the other end of a phone. Bit more tea there. So now I'm in my late 40s. This is what I was thinking the other day. There's very different feelings from being in your late 40s than your early 40s. You know what I mean? Because I'm 47 now. That's not such a giveaway, right? But there's definitely different feelings because you definitely don't, like in your early 40s, you're still kind of kidding yourself you're in your 30s. Your mindset's still a bit like that. It takes a bit of time to adjust. And even 46, you're like, I'm like mid-40s still. It's not too bad. Mid-40s is all right. And then you're hitting 47 and it has like bang in the face, instant, boom. You're nearly 50, son. Well, I'm not. And you try and kid yourself, don't you? Well, I'm not. I've still got 3 years left. No, you haven't. You've got 2 years and fucking 350-odd days. Oh, man. It's weird. It's just a general sort of like now I'm at the age, like in your 30s or whatever like that, you'll pull a muscle or something like that and you're like, oh, shit, I pulled a muscle. In your late 40s, you pull a muscle. That could be it, That could be it now. You just walk around with a limp all the time and you're becoming one of those guys. Ah, here's Limpy Ben. That's it. I don't know. That could be it for the rest of your life. This is the age where you throw your back out and then suddenly you're walking everywhere at a 45-degree angle. I don't know. That's the wonderful world of life, isn't it? The wonderful thing about life. You get to find out how you end up. Most of us are going to end up, you know, I just don't want to be one of those old people who's bent over just, and all they see of the world is their own fucking shoelaces. I don't know. Anyway, people, that is episode 320, holy shit, of the Ben Briggs podcast. We're back, people, we're back. We're feeling fitter, we're feeling a bit better. We're probably, you know, I need to get something to sort out my my waterworks. But apart from that, I'm back, baby. Anyway, I hope you have had a great weekend. I shall be back next Sunday without fail. So have a good week, motherfuckers. I shall speak to you then. Take care.